So in this video, I would now like to give you a very, very brief and broad overview of the Ecology Executive Coaching Framework. This is a basis for executive business coaching. And again, this video might be relevant and appropriate for you if you are thinking about going down this road, executive coaching, working with CEOs, high performers. If not, not a problem, all right? Watch the video because you might learn something anyway. This is a very, very simple framework, and I'm going to be honest, I could teach on this and unpack this over a two-day conference. All right, honestly, there's so much in this, and this isn't an executive coaching course, it's a life coaching course, but I just want to introduce you to one of the channels that you can life coach people through. Because remember, people are from all walks of life, they operate in all spheres of influence. Business, high performing people have the same issues, the same concerns as low performing people or underperforming people, all right? So this is kind of like the grid. The framework that I would generally use to coach people operating in quite high functioning roles, all right? So we want to look first and foremost at the four main areas of growth that we want to facilitate in our clients, all right? First things first, personal growth and development, which is all about them growing as individuals. Now this pretty much just follows on the theme of this entire course, personal growth. All right, then we want to be looking at task focus, i.e. what they actually want to accomplish or achieve. Or if you're just taking this video to learn about yourself and get a few ideas for your own business, well, you've got to be looking at what your purpose is, what you want to accomplish. We then need to look at business growth and development, which is more about the practicalities of building a business. It's one thing having a fantastic idea or a great vision, but without the practicalities and the processes in place, your vision is not going to become a tangible reality, my friend, all right? And every single business is always going to be a people business. We're all in the people business to some degree. If we are not able or we haven't yet learned how to interact and communicate with people in amicable, respectful and honouring ways, then we might get by, but we're really going to struggle to thrive. Why? Because as individuals, we're all looking for more personable people to spend our lives with, and especially in the business realm, all right? As a business person, it's a pleasure to work with personable people. It's not a pleasure to work with unpersonable people, all right? So our people skills is absolutely massive, it's huge. Perhaps this is one of the reasons why I've done so well over the years. I'm not blowing my own trumpet here, but I'm saying that the way in which you're experiencing me on this video right now is just exactly the same way that you'd experience me if we were having a Starbucks together, or chewing the fat, or going for a game of Super Bowl. Not that I ever go to play Super Bowl. So let's break this down, all right, into four further areas of focus. Self-awareness, very, very different from skills and abilities. Skills and abilities, very, very different from our ability to lead well in business, either lead ourselves or lead and influence other people. Our ability to influence, obviously, determines our ability to lead in business. Our ability to influence people is always going to be determined by our level of self-awareness. Now, let's think back to section two of the course. Do you remember one of the first main ideas that I shared in that section? We talked about self-awareness produces self-management. We can only manage ourselves if we're aware of ourselves. The better that we become at managing ourselves, the better we become able to influence other people. The more effective we become then at influencing other people, the better we are at facilitating change and managing other people on a social level. All right, so everything kind of ties into one here. So when it comes to self-awareness, this kind of fits in between people focus and personal growth and development, all right? Personal growth, if you think about just that, the first part of that equation, our ability to, as we grow in awareness of ourselves, we become automatically more enabled to manage ourselves more effectively. The more effective we are at managing ourselves, the better we're able to influence other people, all right? Think about what happens when we emotionally react to people. If we assume the worst of a person, then lose our temper and, you know, go off on a tangent. Well, that's not a particularly great way of winning trust and making friends, is it? In fact, it's a more effective way of losing friends and alienating ourselves, which is an approach that many people take in business, unfortunately. So self-awareness, what we want to be looking at is how aware we are of ourselves. We want to be identifying and just establishing what our confidence is actually based on as well. Because I know many people who operate in high-functioning roles who draw their confidence from their ability to perform and perform well. You know, high performers, high achievers say, I'm a success because I'm performing well. But then if they have a few bad days can sometimes knock their confidence to the degree that a few bad days become a few bad weeks, which goes on to become a few bad months, which becomes a drink or addiction problem. Do you know what I'm saying? And I've worked with people who've kind of fallen down this rabbit hole. And this is all about managing emotions, all right? There's one of two views that we can take on emotions, and you get to choose. Emotions are either, as they say in the tin, they're just emotions. They are a result of the caliber and the maturity of our thinking, or they are conditions, mental illnesses, diseases, sicknesses, so on and so forth. All right. If your emotions are conditions and sicknesses and diseases, then you're going to go and have to find a mental health professional. Hopefully he or she can help you, give you some medication or some appropriate therapy. But if emotions are just the result of the caliber of our thoughts, then that means that we can manage them, all right? Which means that we have this locus of control that is going to really not just serve us, but also start serving and making an impact in other people. Motivating self, right? We're only ever going to be able to motivate ourselves if we understand that which we are motivated by. Our motivation is always going to be our values. We're always going to be motivated, you know, by meeting our values. Hence the reason, you know, so many people get into this industry and then they say, I'm going to be a motivational coach. Good luck with that. How exactly are you going to motivate people? There's a big difference between motivating people and getting people excited. All right, I've attended some of these events in the past, you know, come to be motivated. And I thought, fantastic, I'm going to come and learn how all the big guys do this. I can maybe go and do the same. So you get, you know, guys jumping around the stage, come on, unleash the power within, you can do it, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, a whole bunch of completely disempowered people end up jumping around and clapping their hands. They're like, Hercules, Hercules. And then they walk out the door after an event's finished for 2 days and they're all excited and they're going to go and take over the world. And then they end up going back to the dead-end jobs and doing nothing because they didn't get motivated, they just got excited. Excitement comes and goes, it fades. But when we understand what drives us, what we're actually motivated by, this becomes our vision that compels us and drives us forward to actually pursue our goals. Self-awareness is key. And this is pretty much one of the key aspects of leadership and influence, incidentally, all right? If we do not have a meaningful vision for our own future, well, how are we going to lead anyone, right? How can we lead anyone if we ourselves are not going somewhere? And how are we ever going to go in a healthy or a helpful direction that's beneficial for anyone else if we don't have a vision, all right? We're not going to have a vision if we don't understand what we're driven by. It's only when we understand what we're motivated by that we start to construct visions in our mind for how it is that we can start being of effective service. And granted, we might use some of the business structures that I mentioned in that last video or whatever. So self-awareness is key. Self-awareness comes first, social influence and management comes last. Our ability to influence. The question that we want to be asking managers, leaders, influencers, or ourselves, if we want to go down this road, is how is it specifically that we inspire trust in other people? Now, here's the thing, right? I can have one person that trusts me one day because I'm giving them something or I'm being a certain person for them, but then this same person could then not trust me the day after. And it's not necessarily because I've changed, it's not because my integrity has been compromised, it's not because I've changed my values, because our values don't change in life. Once we have our focus transfixed on a certain outcome, this doesn't change. The only thing that does change is generally the approach that we take towards pursuing a goal or a vision or something like this. But what does change also is people's perception on a day-to-day basis and the assumptions that they make. So generally, whether people trust us or whether they don't, that's often going to be based upon the assumptions that they've made of us, right? People blow in, blow up, blow out. Then once they've given them a shake and sort themselves out, they have a tendency of sometimes blowing back in again, all right? So our ability to inspire trust in people over a prolonged period of time is going to be determined by how true we remain to our vision and our overriding purpose. Does that make sense? All right, congruence. Now, understanding people plays a crucial role in this. If we want to relate well with people, or if those managers and CEOs and influencers who come to us, if they want to be better and more effective at influencing other people, then they've got to understand people, which only happens if we fundamentally understand ourselves. Right? Let's go back to that idea of our old philosophical forefathers, Aristotle, Plato, Socrates. Know thyself. I reckon these guys said this one little statement for a reason. Know thyself, understand thyself. If you want to make an impact in the world, if you want to influence other people, if you want to facilitate change, know thyself before all other things. Because if you do not know thyself, you're never going to understand or be able to relate to other people as effectively as what you would otherwise be able to do. And this is about managing relationships. Again, we cannot manage our relationships with other people effectively if we haven't yet learned to self-regulate and manage ourselves. All right? Sometimes it's about getting our own house in order, sorting our own shit out first and foremost before we start looking at other people. If we understand what we're motivated by, then of course we're going to be able to fuse and motivate other people by simply giving reference to that which we're motivated by. All right, you might be finding this section of the course a little bit inspiring, probably a little bit more inspiring than the goal setting section. Even that section of the course, even that bored me a little bit. All right, but this kind of stuff, it is naturally inspiring. Why? Because we're looking to the future. We're looking at what it is that we could potentially go on to build and construct, and how we can go on to add value to the world and make a positive difference and make an impact and all this kind of stuff. And look, if throughout this course so far, which is fast approaching 30 hours up until now, if my message has been relatively consistent and you've not turned me off yet, it's most likely been because I've inspired trust in you. And in the same way, this trust has been developed over time as you've observed my consistency. Are you with me? This is how we lead by example, over time through our consistency. People are never going to be motivated to follow us, or come to us, or buy our products and services if we're not sharing a level of vision for how it is that we can add value to their life. It's never going to happen. So, our ability to influence is all about our ability to show other people a more meaningful vision for their future than perhaps what they have for themselves, or how they can start even just moving forward in the context of their own lives. So we've got to be looking at win-win scenarios here. Win-win. This is the aim of the game. So when it comes on to skills and abilities then, yeah, we're still talking personal growth and development, but more in a skills and ability context, all right? Practice, practice, practice. You got to practice that which you're learning, or you're not going to grow in competence, all right? You can grow in confidence in your ability to talk about that which you know, but if you are not practicing that which you know, then you're never going to be communicating or sharing from a place of authority and insight, which only comes through competency. Competency when we're committed to practicing that which we preach. All right. If we want to influence others, inspiring trust generally comes from when we can see that other people are operating from a place of competency and not just head knowledge. I've never met an academic scholar who's inspired me. I've met a lot of academic scholars who've bored me to absolute tears, regurgitating and pouring out all sorts of dry information that they've read in a whole load of books over the years. And I'm not saying there's no place for that in society. There is, but the place is minimal, all right? It's a little place for academics. Where life really happens is through application of knowledge. That's where wisdom and insight comes from. This is how the world ultimately moves forward. So, setting priorities, identifying our core competencies, playing to our strengths. Again, this ties in with the idea I was sharing a few videos back, building key partnerships into our life. And we can only do that if we're good at inspiring trust and managing relationships, or relatively well, at least. Why? Because if we, as individuals, are focusing or committing to doing anything other than that which we are best at doing, i.e. practicing our core competencies, then we're most likely going to be committing to doing things that we're perhaps not expert at or that we're not even that particularly passionate about, which means we're never going to pour our absolute all into doing something that we're not that interested in doing. Hence the reason, partnerships are powerful, but we can only do this if we're managing ourselves and ultimately influencing others. Are you with me? Business wisdom comes over time. That's what I've done my best to convey throughout this section of the course. I'm a 40-year-old man. Do I have all the business wisdom in the world? And the answer is absolutely not. All right? I've been literally building businesses for around about 7 or 8 years now, and I've made a whole load of mistakes. I still feel like I'm getting started, but I do understand and acknowledge that whilst I haven't done as much as some, I've done more than others. Right, which is a fine starting point for sharing these ideas, isn't it? Skills and abilities. I can only share wisdom in response to that which I've done or that which I'm doing. I can't share business wisdom from something I read in a book. That's just regurgitating information, which is just conventional academia. Pretty irrelevant, isn't it? If we're not gaining insights in how to put principles into practice or giving people a tangible, meaningful vision for how they can start progressing and moving forward in life, in business, and in whatever. Then business leadership. In order to lead in business, all right, we've got to be aware of our market, our competition, who's doing what. And it's not for the purpose of trying to outdo people. It's just we've got to be aware of what the demand is for our offerings. All right. If we're in a society where there is high demand for us, our insights, our skill set, our abilities, our offerings, then set up a business, set up a basic website, put some adverts in the local paper, Bob's your uncle, Fanny's your aunt, you're not going to have too much of a problem attracting a few customers. But if you're in a society where the competition's high, then this means that you're most likely really going to have to put quite a creative spin on that which you offer. You might have to think outside the box a little bit. Now, this is where I'm going to focus back on conventional life coaches. I know thousands all around the world get asked questions, Kane, how do I get clients? How do I get clients? How do I get clients? And I never, ever give people advice or 3 steps on how they can go and get clients. All I simply do is I respond. I say, so tell me, if you were to share your message in the most creative way, how could you use this to attract an audience that you've perhaps never tapped into before? Now, that's just one question, but it's one question that most people never think about. Most people focus on how do I get more clients instead of how can I make an impact? How can I make a difference? And this is where conventional business kind of falls short. And it's why many people fail, because they focus more on getting clients so I can make money instead of making an impact, making a difference. When we focus on making that impact, making that difference, it really provokes us to ask a far more mature level of questions of ourselves, i.e. how can I take what's in my hand and share this with other people in a way where it's going to be readily received and understood and appreciated? Who's my niche going to be? Who's my ideal audience? Is there a bunch of people out there that I can just go and practice on, add some value to, so I can use these people or this, scenario as kind of like a case study to give me some credibility? What I'm saying is there's more than one way to skin a cat, all right? One approach we can take to life, work, business is we can set up a business, sit back and hope that clients come our way, or we can get really proactive about the process, which today, in today's modern world, if we're not being proactive, no one's going to be in a rush to throw money your way, my friend. All right, so we've really got to push the boat in this, which means we've got to get good at setting direction either for ourselves or for other people. And this isn't about even us necessarily having all the answers or the long-term vision for another person. It's just asking the questions. And what do you see? What do you see as being the greatest impact that you could make? if you were sitting in front of your ideal audience and they were benefiting from you in the way in which you would just love them to be benefiting from you, what would this look like? What's the first step you got to take? What's the second step you got to take? What's the third step you got to take? How can I help you along the way? You've also got to create a demand for your own time and services. You with me? Managing change What we know is that the times are but to changing all of the time. The only constant that we have in life is change, which means that people are always going to be going through a change. They're always going to be moving from one season of life to another season of life. And most people hate change. Most people panic through change. Most people experience change as being traumatic and stressful and panic because they don't know how to navigate their way through. So guess what? As a life coach now, I'm speaking to you back as a life coach once again. If you can become that expert at just navigating your way through change, then you've got all the steps that you need to help other people navigate their way through change. But if you're not practicing these principles yourself, you're never going to be able to see how to enable and facilitate other people to take these same steps. Are you with me? Now, what I've not shared with you yet is an overriding 7-stage coaching process. I'm saving the best to last, my friend. All right, these 7 steps you can apply to all people in all circumstances, at all times, who are in all stages and seasons of life. All right. Problem solving. All right. What's the biggest problem that people have in life? People say, I have a problem with how I feel, but they only have a problem with a feeling that they have because they don't know how to get from where they're at to where they want to be. So the question is, how effective a bridge builder are you going to be? How effective are you going to become at bridging that gap between where people are at and where people want to be? All right. So your ability to understand all of this, all right, is going to determine your effectiveness in empowering other people to take the steps that they need to take to bridge their own gaps. Remember, responsibility breeds empowerment. It's not about us having all the answers for other people. It's about us going somewhere. If we are not going somewhere, if we just have an opinion about stuff, we've just got some nice ideas floating around between these ears of ours, then we're never going to inspire anyone else to move or take action, and we're certainly not going to have any insights or the degree or depth of understanding that's required to invoke and pre-voke change in other people. You cannot lead other people in any area of life if you yourself are not moving anywhere. Full stop. So this is how we move. As business people, as entrepreneurs, it's how we help business people and entrepreneurs to get moving. By identifying the sticking point that they have in their life or their operation or their business, and then just simply plug in the gap. How you apply this is entirely up to you. I think I said at the start of this video, I could talk about this stuff for days on end. This is like a 2 or a 3 day conference just within itself, but I wanted to give you a very, very broad overview in this course. And it might be the case that you're not interested in business or working with entrepreneurs, but you know what? I might have just shared something with you over these last few videos that has inspired you just to perhaps think a little bit bigger for yourself, for your own future, for your own business, and for your own future projects than perhaps what you previously were. So that's it. No exercises here, no homework to do, just principles, just ideas. Listen, I hope you're finding this stuff helpful, insightful, useful, and I'll see you again in the next clip.